Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I think that I am so excited today to talk about this movie with you. I have hid all of my coke in the proper Vesta, proper jewelry, rather. And no
yeah,
one's going to find it.
Are you carrying around a rosary today, Sarah?
Wait, I mean, is it that obvious? Should I hide it better?
I guess if you had like a Jewish star, maybe you could hide it in one of those, but I don't think you're so.
It would get, I mean, honestly, I'm just thinking how that would work. The coke would get so stuck in all the nooks and crannies.
I know you wouldn't. That's true. At least a cross, it like is like one leg, you know, but right. I think the star, it's going to get trapped in every corner.
Not a good, what word am I thinking of? Vestige?
Vessel.
Fuck, I'm so stupid.
This
maybe
podcast
we should start
has
over.
Already gone so many places, and we haven't even invited our guests yet.
Yeah, I know.
We're covering Cruel Intentions today. A film I have not seen. A film that both Sarah and our guest have seen. And let me tell you, Sarah knew what she was doing. She was like, you know what? We've had the moment with You've Got Mail where I got to rant and rave about the nonsense in that film. And Sarah was like, I just know if I make Jess watch Cruel Intentions, me and our guest are going to flip out. And of course, the guest that we have on today, someone who you all are familiar with because we've had him on a lot here on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. It is the one, the only Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I am good. And the listeners do not know how hard it was for me to not die laughing at y'all talking about which religious item you would store your coke in.
Currently hide the coke today.
I was like, oh God, this is bad. This is going to be bad. Sarah, you are an evil genius because this is the thing we should have been talking about. I don't know how we made it this far. This is crazy. This movie is cracked. Okay.
It's cracked. This movie is like, at first I was like, oh, okay, this movie lost its mind the second I see Sarah Michelle Gellar doing coke out of a cross. And then it continues to like go places. It goes everywhere and back.
That's a scratch of the surface. It's not even a slash of the surface. And I want to know, Chappelle, why the heck were you and I probably watching Cruel Intentions when we were 12 years old?
Oh, I didn't
our parents' television. The audacity of us. But we did it.
It was on. It would be like on TV. I remember, I don't think we had the VHS, but I've definitely watched it on someone's VHS before. Like, this is not a movie that that happened one time and I never forgot about it. Like, I think in the 90s, people thought this was a good movie. Like, I think people thought that this was like peak cinema. This was a classic.
This movie got awards.
Reservoir Dogs, Shawshank, Cruel Intentions.
The big three.
It got like MTV awards. It got Teen Choice awards. It got Blockbuster awards. Like, it got awards. Like, people are like, this is the film.
But it is. It was.
Yes.
It is. Like, it's a film. Yes.
It is a film. And I will say, I feel like 20 times today, Sarah, throughout my first watch of this movie, I was like, oh, this person's in it. Oh, this it has everybody in it.
Would you say it has everything that you can need in it?
Not anything that I needed, I think, is more the answer.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to be too precious about this movie. But yeah, like I said, I've been watching this movie for like 2 decades out of my life. And it's sick. And like, I don't know why, but
it's
I was so fucked up.
Everything that happens in this film. Like, and is this movie PG-13? Oh, thank God it's R.
I came into this
thinking it was PG-13. And I was like, who's letting their 13-year-old watch this?
Robin Ferguson.
Sarah over here. Yeah, me and Sarah over here hiding our faces. Like, look, this movie, Jess, you had to be there, because this movie is what taught little 11, 12, 13-year-olds what we thought, this is what being a high schooler meant. Listen, yeah. Like, one day you and your fancy high school friends will be walking around speaking like this. There will be affairs happening and it's just going to be normal. Like, one day you're going to be in that situation. And I think they were in the New York area, so maybe that feels a little bit closer to home, seeing that y'all are kind of in that same general
community.
But for me as a Texan, I was like, wow, people in New York are crazy as hell.
Yeah, this is like pre-Gossip Girl era, but these are the types of kids, right? They're New York City elite.
Oh, when I was watching, I literally thought, okay, so this is the early, like, this is the 90s version of Gossip Girl, because they're all New York City kids. They're like prep school kids. They're all rich. And it's like, half the time you're like, but where are the parents? Like, Christine Baranski, what are you doing, girl? Like, watch Cecile, watch her, okay? Because she's getting into all mess kinds of trouble because this girl doesn't even know what an orgasm is. How old is she? She doesn't even know what an orgasm is. What's going on in this film?
She's a baby. She's
supposed to be a baby, but in reality, she's respectively 3 and 5 years older than Ryan Phillippe and Sarah Michelle Gellar at this time.
She's the eldest member of the principal cast. Like, yeah. I think of all the kids, she is way older than the rest of them. And it's insane that I was like, and she's playing the youngest person on the cast, right? Like, she's playing a 14-year-old?
She's supposed to be 14?
I have to look it up.
I was thinking she's essentially a freshman going into high school.
Yeah, she's a freshman.
Holy crap. Okay.
It was her first year. So that's why I was like, this is a baby. Why is she thrown into this? And why don't anybody care? I mean, and we have to talk about the cast. It's the most iconic cast in that era. It's just all these people are like mega stars in that bubble. And then it's like slowly some of them branched out and became mega stars in their own right. And then some of them are still just trapped in the 90s.
Yeah, that's fair. Some of like the, so obviously we have to start with Sarah Michelle Gellar, because probably like at this point when this movie is being filmed, probably the biggest star just because of Buffy, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And she plays the most sadistic of all of the characters, I think. I mean, it's close with her and Sebastian. She plays Catherine, and I mean, I don't know for you all. For me, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I was not a Buffy person. I've never seen Buffy. So that's not, you know, what I would know her from. I feel like I know her from just the random assortment of things that
she's legit going to say Scooby-Doo, and I'm going to go off the deep end.
I did not say Scooby-Doo.
You're so close to saying I know her from Scooby-Doo.
You can't just put words in my mouth when I legitimately was not even going to say Scooby-Doo.
What were you going to say? Because I know you haven't seen I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I haven't seen that, but I know she's in it, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I do know that she was, like, the star of that. I'm honestly looking, and I can't think of what I know her from, but I know her from something.
It's Scooby-Doo.
It might be Scooby-Doo.
It's
got
to be Scooby-Doo. It's got to be Scooby-Doo.
That's the only thing honestly. You've seen Sarah Michelle Gellar in is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I revoke my 90s card. I'm so sorry, everyone.
She's the queen of the 90s, though. She was, like, such a forefront Her, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Like, oh, she was in Scream 2, which I may have seen.
Okay, okay, Scream 2. But no, of course she's most known for Buffy. I think that I mainly saw her first from this movie. But
yeah, because you were like six when you watched it.
Yeah, yeah. But she was like she was definitely like the one of the queens of the 90s, right?
Yeah, because of Buffy, I would say. Like, Buffy is the thing that rocketed her up to stardom. Who, you know, she's a vampire killer, a teen girl vampire killer, you know?
Yeah, she was that girl. So this is like, this isn't her first role by any means, but it's like the breakout role. Like, I don't think there's anybody you could touch, you know? Like, Buffy, once she hit Buffy status, it was just... it was it. She was above and beyond all the rest of the girls. And so it was like, we have to find the correct supporting people for her in this role. And then again, they brought in this just ridiculous, like, star-studded cast of 90s characters. When you see Selma Blair pop up, you're like, wait, she's here too? Like, these are, like, some hard, heavy hitters in the 90s, at least. So, yeah, she was one of many.
Yeah. Oh, we have her playing opposite Ryan. Okay, tell me. Is it Philippe?
Philippe?
It's just Philippe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Philippe.
Okay. I never knew how to pronounce his last name. I still obviously don't. And literally the only reason I know him is because I know he was married to Reese Witherspoon.
Mr. Witherspoon, yep.
Yeah. So I, once again, I know him most of all from this, but he's been in Hollywood for so long. I remember I watched him in Gosford Park back in the day. What else is he popular for? He's kind of, once again, probably like a 90s it boy, like one of those heartthrobs that I probably saw more in my J14s and my 17 magazines and my Cosmo girls, more so than actual movies. Chappelle, what do you know Ryan Philippe from?
I think you're right. I think he peaked, and no disrespect to him, but I think he peaked here at Cruel Intentions. I think this is the role he's most known for. He was in I Know What You Did Last Summer, of course, but I don't think he ever hit his stardom like this. Now, again, later in his career, he got, you know, bigger roles and stuff like that, but I don't think he's been a household name like he was in the 90s, and most of it was due to that portrayal of Sebastian and his relationship with Reese Witherspoon, because that's what we talked about in the 90s. Who was together? Where did they meet? On which set? And like, who's out there? And they were like the it couple.
Do you think that the breakup between Reese and Ryan, and the fact that Reese is a A-list celebrity still to this day, do you think that their breakup kind of tanked his career? Is that possible?
Ooh. Probably. I mean, if you had to pick a side, we're picking Reese.
We're picking Reese. She's kind of America's sweetheart, right? Like, one of America loves Reese Witherspoon. She's still working her ass off. Jess, have you ever seen Ryan Philippe and Reese Witherspoon's kids?
I know they have the one kid that looks literally like exactly like Reese Witherspoon. I know they have two kids, but I don't know what the other one looks like.
Duncan and Ava are carbon copies. Copy and paste. What's that?
Both of Reese?
Reese and Ryan. Actually, to be honest with you, I think that Ava is the perfect mix of Ryan and Reese, in my opinion. But she looks like Reese Witherspoon. But if you look at her, a lot of her features really are of Ryan's as well. A gorgeous girl.
But beyond this one film, which I knew he was in, I just had never seen it, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not like an idiot who's never heard of this film before. I just have never watched it. But yeah, beyond this, I didn't really know him from anything. But I will say, Selma Blair, I do know from other things, namely Legally Blonde, which also has Reese Witherspoon in it. So she plays Viv. She plays like the complete bitch in Legally Blonde, at least for like a hot second.
Chappelle, have you ever seen the movie The Sweetest Thing?
Yes, I have. I've seen The Sweetest Thing. I just thought about it. I was like, wait, no, I haven't.
That movie is like so fucked. If you want to talk about fucked movies with like Cameron Diaz, like I have no idea what happened in that movie. I always remember
Christina Applegate in that movie too.
Yes.
That Cameron Diaz was also like, okay, if we're gonna say that like Sarah Michelle Gellar is like the woman of the 90s, I feel like we have to say that that Cameron Diaz is like the woman of the early aughts. Like, she was really killing it in the early aughts.
I mean, she was a working woman. Summer Blair is super interesting even now because, of course, she has the illness that she's going through. I don't want to misspeak, but she's actually like lost a lot of her motor function with walking and speaking. She's doing better now, but she's doing a lot of activism work about the transparent, like about getting her illness getting known amongst
multiple sclerosis. I didn't know that. I didn't know she had MS.
I didn't know that either.
She does. Wow. And there was a period of time where she was not really able to communicate as eloquently as, you know, we see her all the time and even walking. But they've done a lot of new medicine and research with her, and she's doing better, which I'm really happy about. And one of the other things I really love about this cast and Selma is that they're still friends. Like Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair are still kicking it on the Instagram. Reese gets in there too sometimes. It's like a really fun group of girls.
Love
that's
that.
Wild. And I think it's funny because I have to say, of all the characters, Cecile really like cracked me up the most. She's just like, it's kooky, like how naive she is. It's really unbelievable how naive and innocent. And like, I'm like, she doesn't look like she should be innocent. Literally 2 minutes into the film, I'm like, girl, cross your legs. You are wearing a mini skirt. I can see up it right now. Cross your legs, girl. Like, what are you doing? But I found her so charming because she's so clumsy and ridiculous, Chappelle. I love her so much.
She's so dumb in this movie. And it doesn't help that they drop like the purest soul into the arms of Voldemort and all of his minions, you know? and it's insane. And not to jump to the end of this movie, but the fact that this movie tries to make you sympathize with Sebastian is the patriarchy at work.
What? Because by what the end of this movie, doing?
We are rooting for them after the way he treats this girl and all these other people. And you are literally rooting for Sebastian to run off after the way the things happened to Cecile and all these surrounding people. It's ridiculous. Incredible that that's the takeaway people have from this movie.
I was a believer.
No, we are not. Okay. I am watching when I was watching the film. I know we're like jumping a little bit, but when I was watching the film and Sebastian got hit by the car, I was like, is he gonna die? Is he about to die? And then they show the big ass portrait like at his funeral, which does anybody actually have these? I have to ask because I haven't been to like that many funerals, but that portrait was freaking large. And when they actually show him dead, I'm not gonna lie, I full on cheered. I was like, yes,
yes, God. Don't you believe in love?
Right. He's a monster. Yes.
It's a time and a place. Sarah is in the majority here. I'm telling you.
That is fucked. That is so fucked. I knew this. See, this is what I knew was going to happen. I knew I was going to come on here and it was going to be you. Like, you've got mail and everyone's like, yay, Tom Hanks. Oh, he's so cute. And he's like stalking this woman. And here we are yet again with Sebastian, who gaslights literally every human being he's ever met, tries to have sex with his stepsister. And yet we're all like, yay, him and Reese Witherspoon make cute little babies together. No, kill him. Let him die.
Jess, like back in the day, I don't know if we thought like that. Like we honestly thought that Reese turned him around and he's a changed man. He actually fell in love.
Once a monster, always a monster.
But we didn't see it that way back in the day. And of course, watching it today, I saw what you're saying. I really did. But when I was watching this for the majority of my life, we were rooting for Ryan and Reese at the end of the day to be together.
Yeah, he finally, it was her. She was what he was looking for all along.
I knew the movie wanted me to root for that because they show like, because of the way they show their sex scene, where it is like so romanticized, even though they're like hardcore sweating all over each other. And I was particularly disgusted by this. But like, on top of that, the fact that it was like slow motion, he's like, are you okay?
Like, because during the first time he made love, which I know you hate and I hate it too, when his whole life he was just fucking people, but he made love to Reese Witherspoon in that moment. Annette Hargrove. Really, now, Reese Witherspoon came into this movie because she was already dating Ryan Phillippe at this time. They were already an item. And actually, interestingly enough, Jess, the producers were interested in Katie Holmes for the role, but they
not shocking, not shocking at all.
But they didn't think that she was a strong enough actress to pull it off.
Because she does have that like doe-eyed innocence about her, similar to a Reese Witherspoon. But I do think they cast every, I will say, the thing that this film has going for it is they cast it so perfectly, where Reese is so believable as like this innocent like child who also is very smart. We'll see at the end of the movie. She's like super smart. And they cast Selma Blair as like this a bit idiot, you know, and then we have Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe as like the, you know, the master manipulators. I do think like every single part in this movie was cast perfectly. Even like the minor moment with Tara Reid, which I legitimately, I was like, is Tara Reid gonna be like in this throughout? No, it was just a hot second.
not quite. So Reese, basically Ryan was like, somebody was like, what about your girlfriend, Ryan, Reese Witherspoon? And they had a dinner together, and by the end of it, the director and producer was like, please be in this movie. It's only going to be 15 days of shooting for you. Like, please come on. And she agreed to it. And that's how she got this part. So they were already together. They got married, I think, like, within a year after production was
After that, like, stopped. Spicy sex scene.
They got married after that. And then by the time that they were doing press tours, she was pregnant with Ava Phillippe.
Wow.
So they just brought that. This just gives, you know what, Chappelle? This just gives like more like stuff for the stands to be like, look, they're supposed to be together.
It's right there.
I think that's actually a very good point, Jess, because I think what we were grabbing onto when we were like 11-year-olds watching this was the passion and the love and like the chemistry between Reese and Ryan's real life couple. So maybe that's why I was like, they're a great couple, because you can feel the electricity when they're together. So I was like, that's what it is. Like, and then maybe it's because it's really there, because they're a real life couple while filming this movie.
Right. Yeah. Seeing them on the red carpet was like, oh, look at them. Sebastian, look, they're together. They did it again. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, we felt that. I was there. You know, I was there. I remember. But also, you know, Reese had just did Pleasantville, I think. So she was like a relatively big name too. So it was kind of just like, to get her was like icing on the cake. Because Pleasantville honestly was a really, like, it was a critically acclaimed movie for some reason. I don't love it, but it like was talked about back then.
Yes. Have you seen Pleasantville?
Is that the one in black and white?
Yeah, and then they like slowly transitioned.
Yes, I have seen that one.
Yeah, I think it got nominated for Academy Awards. And so,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, and so after that, yeah, of course, why not have Reese in something like, you know, if you can get her. And so I think you're right. I think it just, the casting just worked out.
Yeah, people were just like, oh my gosh, look at them. But I'm just like, people should never use this movie as a learning opportunity. Absolutely not. Like, don't be making out with your step siblings. Like, don't be gaslighting literally every human being on the planet. Let's not try to de-virginize the virgin just for sport. You know, like, there's just so many lessons to not be learned from this movie.
There are some good lessons though, Jess. Like, when you need to get your strength, you just turn to God. You know, just find a God.
I was going to say the lesson is like, find a better vessel
for your Coke.
For your Coke and for your letters. Like, don't hide them in the dollhouse in your room.
Also, find yourself a cello tutor like Ronald. Let me tell you, I know people are like, oh, Ryan Phillippe, he's so hot. Mm-mm. I don't care about his blonde ass. Get him out of here. Give me Ronald. Ronald was so attractive. I was like, why are we not seeing more of Ronald? I didn't expect him to actually be in the full movie. I thought it was just going to be like a little moment between Cecile and Ronald, and then that was going to be it. But the chemistry between Ronald and Cecile, I was like, this is the couple I'm rooting for.
He's trapped in the 90s, right? Look,
is Sean, he Patrick gone? Sean Patrick Thomas, has he been in anything? Save the Last Dance.
He's in stuff, yes, and he's probably best known for Save the Last Dance, but like, he never made it out of that era, you know. And I think he has like some stuff recently, but again, I think his like high points were back then, you know. So it's like, I think he's in For All Mankind right now, or at least he was on a few episodes of that. I think he was in a few episodes of The Boys.
He was in a few episodes of For All Mankind? How did I miss that?
And so, like, for me, I'm just like, well, you know, he's done stuff. It's just a matter of, like, I don't think he ever hit that high like he was when he was, you know, in Save the Last Dance and this, and then, like, you know, a few other random snippets in the 2000s. That's when they used to make the joke about having the one token black character, because you'd get, like, Sean Patrick Thomas, or then you'd get, I can't think of the other guy, but, you know, it's like two or you only had two or three. You had to put in one in each movie.
Yeah,
you know?
I think he was in, like, Not Another Teen Movie, and that was exactly the joke, Chappelle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. The two black people ran into each other and was like, well, why are you here?
this is my and job.
I do think that, like, this film is just, like, filled with so many problematic things in terms of, like, you name it, it's got it, right? We got racism. We've got classism. We have got terrible
statutory rape.
Statutory rape. We have just, like, gaslighting. It's just, you name it, we've got it in this film. It is, there's everything. And also, just so many bad hairstyles, I have to say. Like, because, okay, we obviously cover Dawson's Creek here. We love Joshua Jackson. We saw the season where, I think it was it season 3, the beginning of Sarah, where he has this, like, weird reddish color hair. It's so off. And we're like, what the fuck happened?
I think it was season 2, actually. And, we were one of those seasons. And we were like, why is his hair so weird? And it's because he wasn't able to get his natural, like, chocolatey brown hair after he had to bleach it for this movie.
And I'm like, so was it worth it, though? Was it worth it? I mean, like, his character is kind of fun in this movie. Like, he's a troublemaker, right? But at the same, I'm like, was it worth it, Joshua Jackson? Your hair looks fucked. It's awful.
Troublemaker Jessica, like, all he wants to do is have sex with, like, the hot guy. Is that so much trouble? And he deals a little bit of drugs, but that's okay.
Just a pinch.
Oh, it looks like weed. That's fine.
The homophobia in here is astounding as well.
Also, that was the other thing I was thinking of. Yes,
because they're going to try. They're blackmailing people. They're outing people, and then in the same movie, we have this steamy on screen girl on girl kiss in Central Park. This is the same movie that is basically just being completely homophobic, and then just like, well, we're still going to do this for the spicy ones. I'm telling you, Jess, you had to be there.
So either. The thing is I was wondering, like, in the moment when Catherine and Cecile are making out, I was like, is she going to take a photo of this? Like, what is the reason she's doing this? No, she's like, oh, yeah, you just practice kissing on your friends. And I'm like, bitch, who does that? I didn't do that. Did everyone else do that?
No, but it's a trope. The thing is that for Catherine and Sebastian, life is just a game. Everything is a game. Like, it's all fun for them. So they don't fucking care. Like, they'll kiss whoever they want in order for them to get whatever goal they're trying to achieve. And it's nothing matters to them. They don't care if they're playing with people's hearts. They don't care if they take someone's first kiss or their virginity, because it's all for shits and giggles for Catherine and Sebastian.
But is it just me, Chappelle, or was the kiss between Catherine and Cecile, like, I was like, this does not look like normal kissing. There was, like, so much tongue, just, like, so zoomed in, too. Like, it was so much.
She even explained it to her. She gave her the breakdown. Okay, let me explain this to you. I'm going to kiss you, and then I'm going to put my tongue in your mouth, and then I'm going to massage your tongue with my tongue, and then you're going to massage my back. And that's what, you know.
I don't know if I would use the word massage. Like, how are you massaging someone's tongue with your tongue? It's just so weird.
Yeah, this was...
I think I get it.
Yeah. Listen, again, Sarah, you had to be there.
Now, so Jess, this kiss was, of course, all the rage in this time. Like, it made headlines. I think it won. You know how MTV used to do like their movie awards and, like, best kiss? Like, this was the talk of the town, this kiss.
This was a terrible kiss.
Oh, well, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't think this kiss was for us. This is not for the female gaze, this kiss, Jessica.
I'm just saying, like, it didn't look like one of those kisses where you see it on TV and you're like, oh, that was a good kiss. No, to me, it was like, there's so much tongue happening. And it, like, it was just like, it was like very like, I'm licking an ice cream cone more so than I'm making out with someone, you know? Like, it was too much.
That's fair. Also, so like speaking of the Best Kiss Award, right? So they won Best Kiss. I think they also won like Best Female Performance for Sarah Michelle Gellar or something like that for MTV Awards. So like they were nominated for like six of them. But I'm telling you, this was a critically acclaimed movie in a lot of ways. They were nominated for like pretty much every big award show. They were at least being talked about, whether it was cinematography or the acting or the random kiss. Mm. And it was just like, this is not a good movie, but it just in the time and the place, it just worked.
It does feel like it pushes a lot of buttons for the time, right? Yeah. So like in 99, this is a big deal to have, like, you have two women kissing on screen. You have, mm-hmm. like, again, all these hot button issues of like the homosexuality and outing someone. And then you have like these just like two characters who are so awful. So awful. And it just like, yeah, I guess I could see it being like, we could see this movie nowadays and people wouldn't bat an eyelash. But because it was the 90s, it was like, holy shit, this is a lot, you know? Mm-hmm.
And do you think that any of it was satire in a way that Clueless was satire?
I would hope this isn't all like legitimately happening in some prep school, because like I said, these were teenagers, and I refuse to live in a world where teenagers are sneaking coke in their rosaries. Like crucifixes and yeah. rosaries and having sex with their siblings. Like, I just refuse to like acknowledge that.
We don't want it. If it happens, we don't need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Cruel Intentions, as everybody knows, it's like, this is a remake, right? Like, this is based on another movie called Cruel Intentions, which is based on a book called Dangerous Liaisons. And I think it's based on another book. So this is a story.
Yeah, it's
that
based on a
down.
1782 novel, La Lesions de Jerusalem.
Right. Dangerous Liaisons. And so, and that was another thing. They tried to make this movie French. It was not French, but they were giving big French vibes in this movie. I was like, yeah. Why are y'all acting like this? This is New York.
Ah, now I get the French kissing.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there we go. Yeah, BFE. Yeah. Big French energy.
Big French energy, yeah. So this was like, honestly, Jess, the fact that this story has been passed down from generation to generation should tell you something.
Yeah, it's like, it's wild to me that like it all starts with an idea, right? It all starts with there these two step siblings who each have their own little mind games going on, where we have like Catherine, who wants to corrupt Cecile, because, and I kind of wish we had known a little bit more about exactly what happened with Catherine and her ex-boyfriend, because it's like, she's like, no, if I can't have him, then certainly he can't be with Cecile, who's an idiot. And she's just like this, like basically like a Madonna, like a virgin Madonna. And mm-hmm. I can't possibly have her. Let me tell you, these are the most fucking Richie Rich ass names I've ever seen in a film in my entire life. We have Catherine spelled with a Y. We have fucking Sebastian, Cecile. Cecile's mom's name is fucking Bunny. Like, where are you?
B-U-N?
The Bunny, Bunny.
I love that name. I really wish that I can bring it back.
It, only old rich white ladies.
What about Birdie? Birdie is
that's
such
another
a,
one.
That's
an old lady
name
too.
Yeah, I know.
Old rich white lady name.
But yeah, and yeah. her ex-boyfriend's name is Court. What are we doing?
Oh, Court is like white rich person.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. And so he dumps her and he wants to date Cecile. So now Catherine's like, well, I'm going to fuck up Cecile. I'm going to make her a slut. And so he's never going to want her. Meanwhile, Sebastian is like, I'm going to seduce the new headmaster's virgin daughter, who wrote an essay about chastity until marriage. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, the fuck are we doing here? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And then it goes all ass sideways crooked when it's like, now we're doing 70 other plans where it's like, okay, well, if you can have sex with Annette, then I'll have sex with you. I'm your sister.
Yeah, so
but
that's the thing. Like, they basically, Catherine's like, there's no way you can pull this like,
right?
And they make a bet, and it's kind of like a she's all that situation where right. What's his face, Sebastian, has to seduce this person that is not only the headmaster's daughter but also is very religious and has sworn to save herself till marriage, and she has a boyfriend. So a big challenge. And Catherine's like, this is super out of your league. I don't think it's going to happen. If you can't do it. I get your car, which was like a 1957 Jaguar something. It's a hot car. We see it throughout. And
she's
ultimately
rich. Can't she just get her parents to buy her one? This is why I don't understand.
I think that it's supposed to be like a classic car. Like it's supposed to be really rare.
It's less about the car and more about the, like, it's him. You know,
oh,
she
it's
wants
your
to
car.
Get at him. It's his car. Like, I want to take your prized possession. So this roadster is mine. And it is incredible that we got here. Even the fact that you kind of opened the movie with Sebastian basically, like, was sleeping with his therapist's daughter.
And
like,
he took nudie photos of her.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Like, are we literally doing, like, this? Right now, and like in the 90s, you know, like this is stuff that you hear about maybe like the late 2000s, where I was like, oh, someone leaked their nudes online. This man was leaking nudes in high school before like digital cameras were invented. This man's a monster.
I want to know who set up this website that he had going on where it was like her, and then in the background, it was like, you are a slut. You are a slut. Like, who launched this website? Is Sebastian like in the middle of the night, like coding on his website? Like, who did this for him?
Ivy League Bound was like the title of the website.
Really?
Oh my god.
Who is Ivy League Bound? It's like, this is the Gossip Girl once again of this era.
Yeah. So he just like is a total like fuckhead. Like he's just a monster. And this is
like everybody in New York City already. And he's bored of the New York City debutantes. He wants a challenge, and the challenge is Reese Witherspoon, aka Annette. And basically the sexual tension between these two step siblings, once upon a time the three of us had argued about, is Cher and Cher's stepbrother, what's his face, like gross? Is that gross? This is on a different level.
This is a whole other level. The thing I need to know, because hear me out, right? With Cher and her stepbrother, their parents were barely married. It was, Paul Rudd. They were barely married. They were married for like 2 seconds, and then that was it. These two, it feels like they grew up together.
Yeah, they grew up together. That's what I need to know.
I think they grew up together, and it's fucked.
It makes a big difference. In my opinion, I know this is like kind of gross, but in my opinion, if their parents got married when they like were 13 years old, and now they're like 15 or whatever, or like a few years and they were older, not as gross if their parents got married when you were like 4 and they grew up together.
Teen hormones when your parents got together? I think that can be the dividing line here.
Yeah, because, but I mean, do you think that these two are like close enough, intimate enough to have grown up together? Because they're
feel like
both,
it, don't they?
They feel like they've been like around each other for a very long time.
Because there's nobody in the world quite like Sebastian and Catherine. They are two people cut from the same cloth.
It's also wild to me that they're not actually related, Chappelle, because it feels very much like a Jamie and Cersei Lannister type of situation where they're both so fucked up in the head that they had to have come from the same womb and the same DNA. It's wild to me that they're not actually like blood related.
Nah, it's nature versus nurture. We need to start looking at the Valmonts. We need to go look for the dad. We need to go look for the mom. And we need to quiz them. Because you're right. For these two individuals to be so evil and related by marriage, something is going on in that household that is rearing these children like this. Because there's no reason why these two should be that much alike and also that sexually attracted to each other. It just does not make sense.
Yeah. And it does feel like Catherine, to me, they're both evil. I'm going to say it. But Catherine is a sick fuck. She is just like Cersei Lannister in that she never actually wants to sleep with Sebastian. Like, it's very much a game for her. She wants to, she's a cat and he's her mouse. And she just wants to play with her food before she eats it. You know, that's very much what Catherine gives me as vibes.
Yeah.
And like, hear me out. Sebastian sucks. He did not change. He never will change. It's good that he died.
He did change. We saw it, Sarah. No. Remember?
I think he changed a little. Okay, this is what he did change a little. I think that for Sebastian, it was all about sex and the conquest. For Catherine, it was a game where, like you said, cat and mouse. However, I think that she was jealous, and I think ultimately she had more feelings and attachment to Sebastian than Sebastian did to Catherine, because when he started really falling in love with Annette, quote unquote, according to you, she got so insanely jealous. Do you know that scene where she's looking out the window watching them kiss while she's going into the limo, seething with anger? So I do think like she actually did have romantic feelings for Sebastian, while Sebastian, it was just all about sex. Like
I disagree in that. I think that, okay, this to put it very simply, she is like my dog. She wants attention in any way she can get it. It doesn't have to be romantic. It just has to be attention, right? Good or bad attention, she wants it. So it doesn't matter. It's not like she's like, Sebastian, like, I love you. No, it is, you are mine, motherfucker. And you dare not leave me for some, you know, Virgin Mary over here. Mm-mm, you're corrupted just like I am. And we're two little fuckheads together in this together. She's like, they're like Bonnie and Clyde if one was a woman and one was a man, Chappelle. Like, they are like, that's it. It's not love. It is like ownership.
Yeah, no, this is a good point, because it's one of those things where she had just got left by her other boyfriend, right? So like the boyfriend left her to go off with some other girl. This new chick is coming in with her virgin ass and she's just gonna take him away. It's like, no, it's like the world starts spiraling. Like, everything is supposed to be mine. I am the center of this universe. And so when he goes off and falls in love, like you said, it didn't matter what caught his attention. It just needed to be back on her. Like, I think it was less about just having ultimate attention from everybody and less about like, you can't take it away from me. Like, I refuse to let this slip through my fingers.
Right.
Because the look on her face at the end when they arrest her, dear God, like, she was acting. That woman, I mean, child, whatever she was in this movie, was, I mean, shaking, the tears dropping off her nose. I was like, man, she's cooking this role.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Like, maybe it's the fact that like Catherine, she is okay with saying, I don't, like, she's okay with breaking it off, but like when people break it off with her, it's just like,
that's right.
She doesn't,
I am the sun, everyone must revolve around me.
Right. And the fact that his attention started going off of her and onto Annette, like, maybe that's what made her furious.
Right.
Do you find her like a compelling and interesting villain to root for? Or not root for, but just to watch?
To watch? Yeah. For her, 100%. I think I will say, like, the film is cracked, but it kept me so interested because I thought the entire movie was going to be like, oh, there's this little bet and that's it. But it has fucking layers. This shit is an onion. Like, because then we're involving, now we have Cecile and Ronald, where it's like, we're fucking with them. We're going to fuck with their emotions. And then, you know, and then there's Annette over on this side. And they're like pulling in all these little puppets in their master plan. And it's so fascinating because I wasn't expecting that, you know. Yeah. I wasn't expecting there to be so many moving parts for them to be maneuvering.
Yeah. My Aries moon says, I love the fact that Catherine is an evil wench that is just a literal demon and is manipulating everybody and everyone, and everything is a toy for her. And I find it so fun to be like, this is a villain, but in like almost like a good way, because she's evil. She's horrible. Everything's a toy for her. Everyone's disposable for her. And ultimately, you know, she got at the end, and that's satisfying in its own reasoning. But to watch her just like be the master manipulator throughout is really fun to watch, especially when she has like a step above everybody else. Like, she's the one in control. I think it's really fun to watch her.
Yeah, I too have an Aries moon, and I feel exactly the same way. My Aries sun and Venus and rising as well say the same thing.
Yeah. Just,
I love it. I love that she is like an irredeemable villain from head to toe. There's not one moment where you're like, I mean, no, there's not one moment where you feel bad for her. Even when she's arrested and she's crying her eyes out, and she's about to go, you're like, no, you can go. Like,
yeah, because
maybe like a twinge. But
I don't think we're supposed to feel bad for her, because if we were, they wouldn't have then gone to a scene where Annette is driving away in Sebastian's car with the like journal next to her, right? And the sunglasses. Yeah. We're like, this is the new bad bitch in town. See you later, Catherine. Have fun in jail.
Because you know she's not upset that her brother died. She's not upset that people, it's like, she's upset that she is not known as the perfect person that she is anymore. Like, it's like, I don't even think that she got, like, she's pissed that she got caught with the coke. She's like, my perception of being like the brilliant, smart, like head of the school council perception and image is ruined. Like, she doesn't give a fuck that Sebastian's dead.
Mm-mm. She doesn't mourn him for 2 seconds.
No.
And honestly, they make her, they try to like give her some type of logic behind her behavior when she's saying things like, yeah, I'm a strong woman, so I have sex with people and you want to call me a whore, but men go out here and do this all the time and leave their wives and do all this other stuff, and I'm the one being judged. I'm like, ma'am, you're 17. You're 17. What is wrong with you, you monster?
Yeah. And Chappelle, like, we don't care that she fucks. Like, that's totally fine. What I have a problem with is that she's ruining lives.
And fucking her brother. I still have an issue with that. she comes out the gate like, I'm sure of myself. And I know what kind of power I have. And men are intimidated by me. I was like, men should not have a relationship with you. You are a child. You need to go act like one. And she's just like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to ruin everybody's lives because I can. And it does bother her. You can tell. But she, the nuance in this film, Sarah Michelle Gellar, when she's randomly talking to him, she throws sushi at Sebastian. He like catches it. It's like those little subtleties. It's so funny. He walked up to her. He's like, swallow. And she spits on him. I was like, yes. But then she's like tapping her mouth like dainty, like wiping her lips off. Mm-hmm. I was like, this lady is crazy. She won best villain at the MTV Awards. And I'm like, Sebastian was right there. I don't even think he was nominated. I think it was just her. She blew him out of the water.
I think the problem is, if depending on who you are, you see Sebastian as like redeemed at the end of the movie, because they go on this whole diatribe of like, it's all because he gets, at the end of the day, Catherine is the master manipulator. It's not Sebastian. And I think the movie at the beginning really wants you to think it's Sebastian, because he's who we start with, right? He's who we start with his therapist and how fucked up he is. But at the end of the day, it's Catherine who is the ultimate master manipulator, because she calls Ronald and is like, he hit me like, you know, and not only that, but he fucked Cecile, like all this other stuff. And she wants them to get into a fight. Like, I don't know if she thought they would get into a fight, but she wanted to cause strife there. And ultimately, she got him killed. Like, you know, she's the one who got him put in that situation. But we're supposed to feel sorry for Sebastian because, I don't know, he fucking confessed to Annette and gave her his diary and then waited outside her apartment all night like a fucking creepy stalker. Bro, go home. What are you doing?
Sarah, please explain to Jess what true love is, because she's obviously missing the point.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so we have to talk about ultimately like the Sebastian redemption arc, right? Because when do you think it started to turn around? Do you think that it was as early as like the pool flirting? Do you think it was, obviously there was a point in time where she comes on to him and he says, I can't do this. And that was the first time that he ever did something like that.
Oh my God. He said no to sex. Give him a fucking award.
But he could have won the bet right there. I guess that's the point.
And I then, know, but like the whole thing is he has gaslit people for years, literal years. He's been gaslighting people. Yeah. Then he meets one woman and it's just like, I love you. And we're supposed to be like throwing our panties at him? Like, absolutely not.
What about the silly faces in the car?
Okay, I got to be
honest.
That's
true love.
So when I was watching that scene, because he goes, if you didn't rewatch the movie before this, they go to do like, basically they get roped in, or he gets roped in to going to like a senior citizen's home and spending time with these old people, right? And meanwhile, he's lying to this poor old lady who has no fucking idea what's going on. He's
that
like,
was so funny, Jessica.
We played backgammon 3 times and you won. And that she's was like, so I won. I felt so bad for this lady. But
Sugarman is an icon. Let's be very clear.
She's great.
Yeah.
Redemption for her as well.
And then they get back in the car, and then Annette can see through him, right? Like, she has had, she goes back and forth. She starts off like having his number because she heard from Bunny, don't be around him, don't be near him, he's trouble. But then because of the blackmail with her gay friend who is closeted, he like gets a bug in her ear of like, no, he's great. So she gets a little bit tricked, right? And so they're in the car, and I honestly could not tell if that was truly him being him, or if he was still playing it up for, you know, to get her to like him, like the smile gag. I couldn't tell if he was being honest, because we just spent however much time before that thinking everything he's doing is an act.
He's so good. He's just so good. That's how good he is in the role. I mean, that backgammon move is like the pièce de résistance, you know, because it's the one thing she could have caught him on. And Miss Sugarman's like, nope, we played backgammon. What are you talking about? She's like, I just thought I had him. I knew it. I thought I had him. Yeah. And so that's when she let her guard down, because she's like, he does community service. He's good with old people. I understand that everybody keeps saying he's a monster, but for me, he's not. And maybe I can change him.
Yeah, I do think that that was the scene where a lot of things started to turn around, because they are in the car, they're driving back, and he starts going like, Miss Sugarman is cool. And she calls him out. She's like, Miss Sugarman's cool. Come on. Yeah. Like, come on. Like, be real. And he's like, no, okay, honestly, I hate community service. Like, it sucked. Like, I didn't like it. And in a way, even like, you know, we're expecting her to be like, oh, he is an asshole. And then she's like, I like that it almost is like a double manipulation move, because not only is he lying about the community service, but he's also, it makes her start to believe him, because in that moment he's honest. And then she goes, oh, he's not really a bullshitter, he's honest. And I like that about him, because at least he can be honest with me. Like, even if he didn't like community service, at least he's honest with me that he didn't really like it that much, but he did it anyway. And she gives him the validation, like, just because you didn't like it doesn't make you a bad person. Like, you did it anyway. And then she does her like creepy little devil horns.
I did love the Reese faces. They were killing me. Like, yes. I thought she was so funny in that scene. I loved her.
And I think that Sebastian genuinely laughed in that moment. And
he says, like, I've never been happy until, like, I was with her. He says to, like, Catherine at one point.
Yeah.
Which, again, is like, I beg to differ. You were loving manipulating everyone.
No, they loved. No. So then what we have is a handhold. And it wasn't cup to cup. It was hands intertwined. And that means love, Jessica Sterling.
I am aware of the hand cup versus the fingers laced. I'm aware of it. But at the same time, all of this is happening, and he's also fucking Cecile.
Okay, pause. He just went down on her for a while.
They never fucked. I thought they did.
Well, I think they did later on. But I think if initially, you know, because she was like, whoa, that was different, I wasn't ready for that. She went back and told Catherine. Catherine's like, you're a woman now, and it's okay.
Chappelle, what killed me the most was like, because the reason I thought they fucked was because when her mom is looking for her the next moment, and she comes in and her hair is all fucked, I'm like, okay, he couldn't have been going down on her all night. Like, they must have had sex. That was the reason why I thought they had sex, because I'm like, I mean, that's not going to take all night, especially like, she, you know, he's experienced, she's not, she's going to quick orgasm, done, and then like move on to other stuff.
No, he had to blow her mind. And then like, you know, eventually they go there too. Catherine's pissed. Listen, this movie is absurd, but the characters are so iconic. Catherine being the Marsha fucking Brady of the East Coast. Like, I was like,
that line I loved it.
This has so many quotes. I mean, every other line in this movie is just like, it's just pop culture madness. It's so real. And I was just like, what was it? The question about the Long Island? She's like, it doesn't taste like an iced tea.
It's from a Long Island.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh God, they're giving this little girl alcohol.
Like, what and are she's you drunk doing? Off her ass.
Yeah. Honestly, Cecile was one of my favorite characters in terms of like, she's so stupid. The amount of time she like falls over is truly amazing. She falls off beds and couches and everywhere else, like all the time. I love Cecile. I just think like, the line, this sure doesn't taste like an iced tea. It's from Long Island.
It's like, from Long Island.
She's so stupid. I love her.
But also, this man is like drugging her. He's giving her alcohol. Exactly.
Again, this is why I'm saying meeting one girl and falling in love with her does not make a tiger change its fucking stripes. Like, this guy's truly a monster. He would have gotten bored with her eventually.
Probably. But what about the fact that the day after he rejected her and she runs off and he gets to in front of her at Penn Station and we have Colorblind by Coldplay in the background and she goes up the escalator in Sebastian's face. You can't tell me that didn't make your heart swoon a little bit, because 11-year-old Sarah was like, this is true love. They met at the Penn Station, New York.
Listen, rom-coms will have you believe that a man chasing a woman is romantic.
With Coldplay in the background?
Can I tell you something? I fucking hate Coldplay. I fucking hate Coldplay. And the all the fucking songs sound exactly the same. They're all the same. And is the worst one. It was yellow. Like, I can't. I hate it. Like I hate Dave Matthews Band, I hate Coldplay.
Hating the Dave Matthews Band is not an issue. Like, I can take that, but you cannot sit here and like bash Coldplay. I feel trapped. Trapped like a rat. That just was happening.
This is just so rude. How can you hate Clocks, the Scientist?
Clocks, the Scientist.
I don't know what songs you're talking about because they all sound the fucking same.
There's no way the Scientist sounds like Viva La Vida. They're just not the same.
Viva La Vida.
That one sounds like a Ricky Martin song.
No!
So good.
I live in La Vida Loca.
No, you can't say it. No.
This is why you can't appreciate the cinematic masterpiece that is Cruel Intentions. I'm just saying,
rom-coms, this is why people loved Sebastian and thought he was like perfect, is because rom-coms will have us think that stalking women is romantic, and guess what, it's not. Give them their space.
I don't know. I want a little chase. Make me think that you want me, Jessica.
I just want people to be kind, that's all. Leave me a little journal, leave me a little note, note, like he goes to the apartment, right? Then don't fucking wait outside for me all night. That's creepy.
What about the backpack, Jessica? He got her a gift.
I did like the backpack. You know me, I love a backpack purse, and I saw that and I was like, yes, bitch, you're gonna look so stylish at school.
Even the moment when he told Annette that he loved her, when she's like, I'm impressed, he's like, well, I'm in love. Come on.
I still couldn't get over the fact that he just like gaslit everybody, so I can't believe anything he says.
You gotta learn to believe. I think at this point in the movie, like, you have to know that, like, when he, like Sarah was saying, he finally stopped lying. He finally stopped gaslighting, and he was just honest and said, I hate this. And she said, for the first time, I see you as not the BSer that everybody's telling me you are. Yeah. And he let his guard down. He was in love. You don't do that for anybody.
I guess the only like bright side of it is that all of that led to his death, because she like found him. Like, she saw the whole fight happening between him and Ronald. And like, I love her being like, no, Sebastian. And she like runs to get involved. Like, bitch, let it happen, you know? And
why are they fighting in the middle of the street in Manhattan, so in front of Central Park anyway? That's so dangerous.
And Ronald like throws her into the freaking middle of the street.
Ronald. He was just trying to be a defender. Now, Jess, what do you think of the best thing that he could have done was give his journal to Annette so that she can know the real him?
Yeah. What I think of that? I feel like I don't know how detailed the journal was. It looked very detailed with photos and everything. He even had a drawn rosary and everything.
It was a scrapbook in it. What do you mean you don't know how detailed it was? I think it was every single thing that he did. After he had sex with Cecile, he's like, okay, quiet time. It's time for me to write in my journal.
No. I'm just saying, like, I feel like it needs narration with it. But I do like the move of, like, here's everything awful I've done. And if I'm her, after I read that, I'm like, nice knowing you. See you later, pal. Like, if I find out how awful of a human being he was, there's 0% chance. There are so many fish in the sea, bitch. You're rich. You're a rich white blonde woman. There are so many men out there for you. Like, leave Sebastian in the dust.
He shouldn't have died. Because, you know, we do get a Cruel Intentions 2 and Cruel Intentions 3, Jess. Yeah, did you know that?
How are we going to do that? We just following Catherine? What's the deal?
No, I think Cruel Intentions 2, I might be wrong.
Oh, is one of them the prequel? New Big Bad?
No, I think one of them prequel. Did you ever watch Cruel Intentions 2, Sarah?
No, I don't think so. I think that what we have is well, it could be a prequel because I think that we have Catherine, but a young Catherine. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, somebody famous played a young Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, it was a prequel?
I think so. Was it Amy Adams played?
Yes, it was Amy Adams.
It was insane, right?
Yeah, Amy Adams played a young
Catherine. I wish you all could see my fucking face right now to hear that Amy fucking Adams was trying to be a big bad. Girl, go back to like fantasy land. Like, what the hell did she play in where she was? She's always a nice girl. She can't be playing mean girls. She's always a nice girl.
I saw this movie on television. I think it was like ABC Family or something was playing. I said, what is this? And I sat down. I was like, this looks like Cruel Intentions, but it's not. And then I was like, why is Amy Adams in this movie?
Amy Adams. Amy Adams is doing in this movie.
Can I also give you another quick quote from this movie? Sebastian says, email is for geeks and pedophiles.
I mean, that shit is funny as hell.
Facts are facts. That's what I have to say.
There are so many good quotes. I'm telling you, it was just like line after line. That Marsha Brady quote is still funny. Her rant about like having to act like was it Mary Sunshine 24/7?
Yeah. Oh, you beat me 3 times. I did. Yep. Then I fucked your daughter. Excuse me. I said, would you care for some water? So good.
She's the best grandma ever.
Yeah.
What was the other one when he's like, I like that shirt you're wearing? It's like, oh, my dad got it from Australia. Well, I hope things are blossoming down.
Oh, down under.
That shirt, that koala shirt was cursed.
That's the worst. That is the worst outfit ever.
It was so ugly. Bad. Yeah.
It was like a 10-year-old shirt.
Right. Yeah. Christine Baranski was like, why the fuck is this my daughter?
Right. And we talked about hair, but we cannot get out of here without talking about Sebastian's hair. Dear God, what the hell is on this man's head?
This is like the Justin Timberlake ramen hair before it existed.
Yes.
It's like a prequel to that.
But we liked it. We liked it back in the day, Jess. Like, I loved the ramen hair back then.
But it's not even that, though. It's almost like that. You know, like the ramen hair was like the evolution of this. This is like he woke up and just took mousse. And just kind of like messed his head up and then just walked out and was like, yeah, I'm Sebastian. Everyone's like, ooh, Sebastian. Like, well, I don't understand. He didn't put any, like, the women's hair isn't that bad. You know, like Selma Blair has like her part thing that she does. Yeah. Catherine has her like slick back, I'm bad bitch haircut. But like, this was a mess. He rolled out of bed like it's just effortless. I'm Sebastian. Well, I was like,
that, the turtleneck and the tiny glasses.
The tiny glasses are what get me. I can't. Oh.
We got to talk about the outfits. Listen, what season is it? This man is wearing like a leather duster down to the floor. I thought school just started. Where are you going in all this black? Do y'all see him?
Yeah.
He's like a vampire.
Yeah, this is New York City. Like, it's going to take a little bit for it to be that fucking cold, Sebastian. Like, you could get away with just the turtleneck. You don't need the leather jacket on top.
He needs 8 black layers. What are you talking about? So but then the sweaty juxtaposition of when he visits his Aunt Helen and how differently he dresses in the Hamptons sends me, because he really plays a part and just bullshits when he's there.
Aunt the moment Helen when he has the tennis racket and he's like jerking it off in front of Cecile is too good. It's too funny.
I love the black outfit that Sarah Michelle Gellar was wearing when she kisses Cecile in the park, because it's once again, she's wearing like a blazer, like maybe a blazer dress or something. Black sunglasses, this black sun hat, earrings, just like full drama. Which I love.
And they do this in broad daylight. Now remember, I said the movie is homophobic in a lot of ways, but for the 90s, you're not gonna see two women just out in public in Central Park kissing like that. It's just not going to happen. Not that it shouldn't be allowed, but it was not accurate, especially this same movie where they are trying to out a guy and like ruin his life for being gay. It doesn't make sense.
The same movie where they use a particular colloquial term for having male gay sex is like, whoa, right? Like, I will say, I thought that that Joshua Jackson as Blaine absolutely killed it, right? Like he cracked mm-hmm. me up, and then he, like, the whole point is that he's supposed to be like he has casual sex with Greg, and the whole, like, it's Sebastian thinks that Greg is the one who told Annette to stay away from him, and so he's like, yeah, he threatens him with outing his homosexuality. It's like a whole
the
thing.
Gregster?
What?
The Gregster?
Oh, the fucking Gregster. I cannot. The Gregster.
O'Connell. The worst O'Connell of them all. Oh my God.
Do we want to rank O'Connells now?
I mean, start at Greg and work your way up. It just doesn't. I mean, dear God, I forgot he was in the movie. Like, until you said Greg this whole time, I hadn't thought about it. I'm like, Greg, this is the worst. I'm sorry.
I will say, we did get some male butt in this film. And yes. Ryan Phillippe's butt.
Great.
Very
butt.
Nice. It's very good.
Yeah. Male quality butt. Yeah.
Male butt. So you like seeing Joshua Jackson in here, Jess?
I loved him. I thought he played his role perfectly. I thought it was very funny. I really enjoyed him as a character. I wasn't sure how, like, again, seeing Tara Reid, seeing Joshua Jackson, I wasn't sure if they had big roles in the film or not. But I thought, like, we only saw a little bit of him, but I really enjoyed what we did see. I thought he played that, like, again, very, like, charismatic, charming character that he tends to play, because I feel like that's who he is, right? Like, he's very charming. I thought he was great.
Chappelle, do you think that Blaine purposely outed the Gregster in this moment?
I think, of course. Yeah. I think all of this stuff is planned. Yeah, I think all this stuff is planned. I think it's just so bad, because he doesn't even flinch. When it happens, he's just like, like, he doesn't care.
I know, but it was more so the fact that he was like, oh, oops, I must have gotten it confused when it came to the letter writing or the letting Annette know about Sebastian. And I felt like he kind of duped Sebastian in that moment, and he had his own. It basically tells me that there's thousands of other manipulative, sex-craved teens in Manhattan, because he had his own cruel intentions.
Listen, we've all seen parts of Gossip Girl. Like, they're all New York City rich teens are the same, and they're all monsters.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, Ronald really gets, like, brought into this whole thing and used and abused the far worse than everybody else, because not only is he, like, number one, he just likes the stupid little girl. Now, is that, like, it's pretty much a question, like, Ronald, like, why do you like Cecile? Like, maybe that's a little suspicious, but, you know, he has the crush anyway. He gets berated by Bunny. Then he gets, like, in, like, wrapped up in writing letters to Cecile behind everyone's back, and then gets basically coerced into sex with Catherine. And then on top of that, he winds up, like, accidentally killing Sebastian at the end. So it's like, what's going on with Ronald here and all of this?
He needs to get the hell out of here. He don't got no black friends, because somebody would have removed him a long time ago. This is embarrassing for him. And I really wish that he didn't get into this, because now he ends up fighting in the street over the people who don't care about him at all.
Right.
Like, he's legit fighting in the street, and I mean, kind of leads to this other man's death. I mean, if he just could have gotten out of here, but it was that allure of Cecile. Which is so crazy, because
So, like, I have a question. I have a question about this, because Ronald, like, she says, oh, Ronald's going to Juilliard. Is Juilliard a college?
Juilliard is an art school, a very prestigious art school.
Right, but is it a college? Because, like, how old is Ronald supposed to be?
He's supposed to be they said that he's pre Juilliard, so he is he's probably a senior in high school. He's going to go to Juilliard.
Not much older than Cecile.
But that's not the point, Jessica. It's that Bunny is a racist fuck.
Oh no! I know. But I thought the movie wanted us to also be like, oh, it's gross that he's, like, preying on this young girl, when in fact it's more like Ronald is the biggest victim in the entire fucking story. You know,
yeah,
all
exactly.
He did was he liked a girl that he was teaching cello, which that scene was a sexy scene.
In defense, there is a big difference between a 14-year-old and an 18-19-year-old. So, like, that's
true.
One thing that you can say. In reality, it's 4 years, but in that time period in particular, then there's a huge difference between like a freshman and a senior in high school.
But before I knew any of the ages or anything, and he did a little cello moment with her, I was like, oh, we do it.
Yeah, it was very sexy. It was very sexy.
I've never seen the cello so sexily before, you know?
The cello is probably the sexiest instrument.
No. I've had this conversation before. Chappelle, what is the sexiest instrument? Because I have an idea in my mind what it is.
I think, honestly, the guitar can make anybody look attractive. Anybody can look attractive with a guitar. The saxophone is a very sexy instrument.
That's my one. Yeah. Nailed it, Chappelle. Yeah, because think about that, like, jazz solo with the saxophone, and you do the move where you, like, bring up the end, and you're like, it's the saxophone, 100%.
But I know exactly what song you're singing,
Chappelle. Yeah, because it's a sexy song.
But also, I think that you get the ghost effect with the cello in this scene, because we have Cecile and then behind her, Ronald. Mm-hmm. And then that was very sexy.
Well, that's a go-to shot that they use throughout this film. They always like to to center the person and the love interest in front, right? So you have the moment where Catherine's behind Cecile with the big black hat on, and she's like wearing her like sweater. I don't know if it's like an ownership thing, but they also do the random reverse hand job that she gives her brother, that she gives the stepbrother. So Catherine's sitting in his lap, turned with her back to him, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm giving you a hand job." I'm like, but your arm, your poor, like, lady, turn around. Why are you doing this? Just reach around, but a double back reverse. I said, ma'am. And so, like, eventually she gets up, but why did you sit there? You could have,
that will only work if you are skinny and have long arms.
Yeah, otherwise, but it still feels like a bit uncomfortable of a maneuver. Like the behind the back hand job.
Right.
It feels like something out of like a very docile Kama Sutra, you know?
Right. Is this thumb down? Like, how is she doing this? I really just like, unfortunately.
Has to be thumb up. I don't think you can do the thumb down. Because if you're doing thumb down, you're like bending it sideways. I don't think that's good for anybody.
That's the worst hand job of all time. And they love this shot. I don't know what it is about this movie, but that's definitely something I noticed at 9 years old.
I think you're right. Like, it has to be about like a power situation.
Yeah.
So like, let's talk about the ending. After Sebastian dies, we have the funeral, and we are at Catherine's giving a eulogy, and while she's doing it, there is before that, actually, we have the bathroom scene between Reese and Catherine, and talk about a power move, because obviously Annette is in this power position. She has all the information. She is holding all the cards. And for the first time, I think Catherine is not in control and not in the driver's seat, because she doesn't know exactly what's happening in these moments.
Mm-hmm. This is good. This is good TV. Just the idea that they meet up this is the first time they've ever met. Yes. Isn't that the craziest part of this?
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. And I didn't realize it. And that's how like wild this movie was, that I didn't realize it until I was in that scene that like, oh shit, they've never talked before.
Yeah. Yeah. But she knows, I mean, Catherine knows a lot and knows a lot of what's going on, but Annette knows what's about to go down. So we get Catherine giving the eulogy. All of these people start whispering and coming in and leaving the area. And Catherine just like flips out. She's like, who do you think you are? You're all so disrespectful. You don't respect the dead. And she chases after her, which the majority of the people in the church, to be honest with you, were still in the pews. So it's like, who's the drama, Catherine? Like, you're the one that's leaving. But she goes out. And then all you see is just everybody reading a printed book type of thing.
Yeah.
Jess, did you know what it was right away?
Yeah. Immediately. I knew once everybody was running out and then I saw them holding something, I'm like, oh shit, it's the journal. It's the diary. Yeah. Like, because especially because the way Annette acted in that scene in the bathroom, I was like, she's fucking up to something. Like, she just was very Catherine-esque, right? Like, she was very cold. She like didn't really say a ton. She didn't say anything in terms of like revealing anything, you know? So I was like, something's up here. So as soon as I saw the booklet, I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, Catherine is fucked.
I was so pumped. I was so excited to see it happen. Yeah.
And this isn't the original ending of the movie. They had a different thing planned for
Excuse
the ending.
Excuse me? What were they going to do?
It was supposed to be like a confrontation. Like, she was supposed to go to her and be like, I know everything.
This
and
is just so like much better. Out.
Yeah, they changed it, and I think it is. Because she in the original ending, she doesn't even get arrested. She just leaves her on the bed. Like, basically, Annette now is the queen blackmailer. So she comes in, and she's like, I got it all. So whatever I say you do, you jump. And then she just kind of, like, grabs the keys, rides down. You know, same exit. But wow. It's definitely like a, like, I got you now moment instead of, like, you're going to jail, bitch.
Mm-hmm. So I love the moment also when Cecile, in her little, like, innocent way, skips up to Catherine, hands her the booklet, and then just, like, goes, and then, like, skips off again with her pile of booklets in her hand. And she kind of got her moment, too, being like, you want to see what we're up to? Fuck you.
Okay, can you need to remind me? Because I know Sebastian wears, like, the tiny regular glasses. But doesn't he also wear the tiny sunglasses? Because when Annette is driving off in his car and she puts on those tiny sunglasses, I'm like, this bitch, she is now both Catherine and Sebastian combined. Yes. And
it's like, and also when you realize that, you know, the bet ultimately was surrounding by the car, and it's ultimately Annette who is like, you know, you make this fucking bet about me, I get the prize. You know, I fucked Sebastian and I got the car, and fuck you, and I got the sunglasses, and I'm going to drive off and just be the bad bitch that I am.
Yeah, I do say I loved the ending of the movie. I felt like the ending was very strong, because even though we're all supposed to be like, Sebastian and Annette forever. Like, no. I was so happy he died. I was so happy that Catherine got caught and her little Coke rosary got figured out. Like, I was so happy that all that happened, that it did really feel like good. Annette got her due. The only one was, I was like, poor Ronald. He's probably off in fucking jail somewhere. Like, poor Ronald really got just fucked.
Yeah, Ronald, like, wrote everything about, like, his confession, how he was, like, how she lied to him about not being a virgin and all this other stuff. But he probably still went to jail. Like,
Ronald. Mm-hmm. Definitely a poor Ronald moment. It's just so satisfying to see Annette just, like, drive off the sun. And once again, it ends the same way it started. In the car, on, it could have been, I don't know which bridge it was, Washington Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge, Verrazano, who the fuck knows, but one of the bridges to New York, and starts the same way it ends. It's just so satisfying. And in the song, this song blew the heck up because of this movie, Bittersweet Symphony by, I think it's The Verve. Just, did you like the music in not only the end, but also throughout the entire movie?
I think that, like, the biggest, like, musical moments are certainly, like, that last scene for sure. And then, of course, obviously the Coldplay moment earlier is, like, the big moment. But I do think overall, I really did like the soundtrack overall.
We got the Cardigan song, love me say that.
I love that song.
Yeah, who does it? That's a good song, man.
I think it's the Cardigans.
it's the Cardigans. Love Fool is the name of it. Yeah,
Love Fool. Yes, Every You and Every Me, that's a really good song. Oh, we have a Colorblind. What do you think about the Counting Crows, Chappelle? Have you thought about them in the last millennium? Probably not.
No, not at all. I can't even think of what my Counting Crows song would be, because it's definitely not Colorblind. Accidentally in Love, maybe it's like from Shrek.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do love that one.
It's a good song.
Accidentally in Love. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's my go-to, because that's, I think that's the only one I can name off the top of my head.
You know what? I think I fucked up. I think that Colorblind song I mentioned, I think that's, gosh, I don't even think it's Coldplay. How embarrassing.
Isn't Coldplay in this, though? I feel like there's a Coldplay song.
No, this would have been pre
Crows.
Yeah, I was going to say, would Coldplay have been like a go-to, like, big soundtrack song? I mean, band around this time? I don't think so.
No,
I messed up.
Everyone probably hates me. All the people that are going to write to me and tell me that I'm a fucking idiot, I figured it out, so leave me alone.
Yeah. I mean, Coldplay still sucks, but it's fine.
Ah! Listen, I think the one thing the movie does poorly, and there's a lot of things that the movie does that are choices, but I think one of the things they missed the mark on really is the way they paint the ending. Because with them saying that basically Annette is our hero, they never they never paint her as that throughout the movie. They always paint her as like Sebastian's love interest or whatever. So when she ends the movie and she's driving away, she's thinking about him still. She's still like, oh, the love I lost, all the good moments. I'm like, no, like Sarah paints it in a better picture. Sarah's like, you won. These two people were fighting with you in the middle, and ultimately you got it all. You got to have him. You got to have the car. You got to have the glasses. You got to get her thrown
in jail. Diary.
You won. And I'm like, that's what they should have been giving us. Her like, hero story, you know, where she's like, nah, I've got to take down these two rich kids, you know, and that never happens. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was like, that's why the movie is like, it doesn't sit right with me. The older I get, I'm just like, dang, like this movie was a hot ass mess, but you just really, the patriarchy was just right there. You know, it was just like, no, we're making Sebastian a hero despite all the horrible things he's done, the statutory rape, all the things, the outing people, the revenge porn, I think it is, you know, homophobia, like you name it, he did it. And then they're like, but don't you miss him? Don't you want to ride off into the sunset and think about him and his crispy hair? Like, no, I don't.
Yeah. I agree with you. I do think like the ending should be more of a celebration of like of Annette figuring all of this out and not her being like, oh, I miss Sebastian and he saved me and he gave his life for mine and blah. No, it should be like, fuck Sebastian, fuck Catherine. I'm gonna go off and hang out with Cecile, even though she's dumb as rocks, and we're gonna have a good time. That's the move.
Does Annette go back to Trent after all of this? Because Trent is still backpacking in Europe.
Oh God, I forgot about Trent.
Trent?
Her boyfriend in the beginning.
Oh, yes. I didn't even know he existed.
Trent's gonna come back and be like, hey, babe, like, what's up? I can't wait till we lose our virginities to each other when we have our wedding.
No.
And Annette's gonna be like, well, about that.
About that. About that. Now, look, I don't even know. Like I said, I don't know the plot of Cruel Intentions 2 or 3. But at this point, don't you feel like you got to watch it? Like, because Cruel Intentions 2 is the prequel. So you get baby Sebastian, you know, when he first gets to the prep school. And I'm assuming I think that's where you find out how long him and Catherine have been together. I think that's where we do our digging.
Oh, so
you know?
We can really know.
Yeah, because of course that was a 2000s movie, obviously, because this movie came out in what, 99?
Yeah, 2000 it came out, actually. Wow, it only came out a year later.
And they couldn't even get the entire cast. Apparently
they couldn't get anybody from the
original
cast.
It's a prequel
cast,
and it was released direct to video. That's sad. Yeah.
Guess what? We can watch it free on Tubi. What's our opinion on Tubi? They are really trying to push Tubi these days.
Tubi got the good stuff that you wouldn't think they have. I mean, like, it's ridiculous, honestly. But look at this cast. So you got Robin Dunn, Sarah Thompson as Danielle Sherman, who wasn't in this film, obviously. Amy Adams is Catherine again. And then, like, I was looking at the little... the picture, and I was like, is that Alicia Silverstone? I don't think it is, but I thought it was for us.
No,
like,
looks like her, but that's not
her. Yeah. But I was like, how did they get her for this? Because she should be too big for this. I think Amy Adams is the only one who leveled up after this movie, because the rest of them aren't.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And then God knows what Cruel Intentions 3 is about. God knows.
They even had to recast the housekeeper, Min Lin. Like, they couldn't even get Min Lin to come back.
She was like, bitch, no.
You blame dropping the box on me? Fuck you.
Yeah.
She said, direct to DVD? Absolutely not.
That's standards.
It has a 4.3 on IMDb.
What about 3? How are we doing with 3? Did it improve?
Yeah, what was 3 and when was 3? Because I think Sarah Michelle Gellar
2004.
I think she came back for 3.
What?
Yeah, like almost like, you know how like when they do like the reboots, kind of like Girl Meets World, where it's like,
oh my god,
teacher.
It's Cruel Intentions 3, the third time's the charm. Ooh. You know, oh my god, Sarah, do you know who's in this?
Who?
Kerr Smith. Jack from Dawson's Creek.
Oh, we gotta watch it.
A college prep school make wagers on seducing naive young girls and then meet their match when they agree to see which one can seduce the most popular and devious girl who has her own agenda to everything.
Mm.
This got also a 4.6.
Dear God.
So they're
gonna give it a 5 just to bump it up.
They're stable. They don't go up, they don't go down.
This looks like trash.
Oh my god.
Sure it is.
A whole movie series of just Cruel Intentions and its spinoffs would be iconic. Oh, but yeah, isn't that incredible? And that was 1999, 2000, and 2004. So they were really like, but we still have something here. I know it.
We still. Do you think that maybe one day we can see like an HBO, you know, reboot of Cruel Intentions? And do you have the tolerance to sit through it?
They're rebooting everything. I think that HBO is the only home for it, I have to say. I think they have to be able to one up themselves in like the incest department. And so I think that HBO is the only home for this show or for this movie. I could see them doing like a mini series, can't you, Sarah? Like they already have Gossip Girl, like the Gossip Girl reboot on HBO Max. They have Pretty Little Liars. They might as well do Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. A crossover. Cruel
Intentions.
Cruelest Intentions. What about the fact that this movie originally was going to be called Cruel Inventions and they changed the name because they thought it was too sci-fi sounding?
They wouldn't have been wrong. I mean, I definitely think this was the better choice for the name. Yeah. Cruel Inventions? Yeah. Like, that's just,
I don't know. Makes sense. What is this inventing? This might be like, hello, my name is like whatever. I'm just going to change the IMDb to fuck with people.
Oh yeah. Okay. I could see that.
I might have gone duped.
Oh, canceled sequel series. Okay. So NBC announced in 2015 they had picked up a television pilot. NBC.
I don't trust NBC with anything. Oh my god. They fucking cancel everything.
Can I tell you what the storyline was gonna be?
Please and thank you.
The pilot was set 17 years after the events of the film, and it sees Bash Casey, son of Sebastian and Annette,
of course,
his late father's journal. Upon discovering that, he is thrown into this world of lies, sex, and power. How the fuck does that make any sense? What, she's supposed to be pregnant at the end of the movie?
Yeah, have sex once, get pregnant. The age-old story.
That was the story of the 90s. It legit was. It was like, you did this. You had sex, little girl. Now you have to raise a child by yourself.
Oh, my God. Planned reboot series in October 2021. It was announced that a television series reboot of Cruel Intentions was in development for IMDb TV, which is now Amazon Freevee. What the fuck is Amazon Freevee?
They made this shit up. But honestly, don't y'all feel like we were robbed? Because like now that we've talked about this, if they could just bottle up the insanity of this movie and put it into a TV series, I would watch it.
Yeah,
seen crazier shows, you know, like the twists and turns of Pretty Little Liars, y'all are the experts. It's incredible. Like, it is insane. Yeah. Riverdale, insane. How to Get Away with Murder, insane. So if you could do all of these shows, you could do Cruel Intentions. I know you can.
But we need it to be like an HBO Max reboot where it only has like 10 episodes. Like, it cannot be like this nonsense like Gossip Girl where it's just like it's too many episodes and they get bogged down. We need it to be a flash in the pan, you know?
Yeah. But Sarah, listen. What do you think he saw in this book that made him go into this world of sex, lies, and mystery and destruction? Because it's like he saw that his dad was an evil human being, and so is his step aunt who's in jail possibly. Yeah. Like, what makes him like, I too can take up the family business, you know?
Okay, because you're a teenage boy, you're horny as heck, you see that this book is like 200 pages long, and your dad was only like 17 when he died. You're like, I have to fulfill my destiny of being a fuckboy. And that's what, I mean, that's what he's aiming for. Bash, I hope you get there. Your name is Bash. You're a fucking lunatic.
Oh, Sarah, there used to be an off-Broadway musical of Cruel Intentions.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No, they did it.
Debuted at Greenwich Village Nightclub. Yeah. La Pose and Rouge. In 2017 and ran through 2018.
Oh, well, did you like the opening act? I can't wait to fuck my brother.
Can't wait to fuck my brother. It's gonna be a good time.
Oh my God.
If not another teen movie came out 4 years earlier, we could talk about that, because I think they actually have a line and that's in their big song number where she's just like, I want to fuck my brother.
Yes. Yeah, I will say, like, I joked about this movie. It was entertaining. Like, I will give it that it is entertaining. Is it completely cracked out of its fucking mind? Abso-fucking-lutely. But it's also very entertaining.
Would you say
I did
it's
enjoy myself.
Part of like the top tier movies that you've had to watch for Shit 90 Shows Taught Me?
Gosh, it's so hard to say. Like, I watched
this is
to be
ones.
Fair, I haven't seen a lot of, a lot of the movies we've covered, I had already seen.
Yeah.
I still would say that, what was the one we watched with Dr. Amanda? Remind me of the name of it.
My Cousin Vinny.
That is still my favorite that we have watched.
It's a good movie.
It's still my favorite. You like this certainly up there. Yeah, I like
you did love the Truman Show. Yeah, I remember that.
Truman Show was up there for me as well. This one's really good in that, like, it got me to this headspace of the fuck is going on.
Yeah. You know,
like, I came on this podcast. I'm so happy that we made this decision, and also that I just watched this morning so that I could come in with like that same energy of like, what did I just watch? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any last minute thoughts that you didn't get to get out?
Just that I'm shocked that I wasn't like spoiled on it. Every single person that was in this film, because there's just so many people. And I think, like, I mean, even like Christine Baranski, how the fuck did they get Christine Baranski?
Do you want to know how? Because I know.
Yeah, how did they get her?
Her daughters are Buffy fans. That's the only reason why she agreed to this.
There you go. That makes sense.
You mean to tell me they got Sybil because her daughters were Buffy fans? That's incredible.
That's the only reason why she signed on to this project.
That makes sense, though. But yeah, I just.
That's wild.
I thought this movie was very fun. I think like some of it is obviously there's very like problematic moments given that any 90s film I feel like is probably going to have problematic moments. And this one has its fair share. But I also think on the bright side, we're supposed to know like Sebastian is trash. The fact that he's homophobic, not surprising. Bunny is trash. The fact that she's racist, not surprising. We're not rooting for the people that have those terrible thoughts. You know what I mean? So. Right. I will say, like, I very much enjoyed myself watching this film. What about you, Chappelle? Any final thoughts on this movie?
I think the older we get, the more satirical it is, because I stand by in the 90s, people were rooting for these characters. Like I said, Sarah and I can attest that it was not the same. We're not looking at it through the same lens. Back then it was like, this is true love. What are you talking about? Like she drives off into the sunset thinking of him, you know, like that's the movie they were trying to give us. And now we can look back and be like, boy, the 90s were crazy. Wasn't that insane how they acted back then? You know, like, because it just is not something that's done. None of this movie is something that could be made today based on what we, like, it would have to be a period piece about how things were looked at in the 90s.
Right,
because this could not be an earnest movie like it was back then. I think a lot of that was really like, no, this is how the upper crust lives. You know, sometimes they get down into sex, lies, and videotape. It was like, okay, I hear you, but also, all that stuff should be admonished. Mm-hmm. And they never at any point admonished them for their actions. You know, the only person who really takes the L, despite Sebastian being the one who dies, is Catherine. Catherine's the only one who is really, truly punished by anything that happens in this movie. Sebastian dies and it actually saves his reputation. So, yes, you know,
yeah,
it's one of those things where looking back, this is crazy, but dear God, it's fun to talk about. This movie, like, we could go on for hours. There's so much.
Yeah, it really is such a fun movie. And just talking about villains that you love to hate or hate to love or something along those lines, like, it is Catherine, lesser so Sebastian, but still, like, maybe if Sebastian was like, I mean, he kind of was like, yeah, I'm a fucking shitbag, like, that's what I am. But ultimately, he does get the hero edit at the end and whatnot, but it is really, really fun. It is fun to see just like the wheels that these two people spin of manipulation and just being like evil people. It's a lot of fun to watch. I'm glad that we watched it, glad that we talked about it. So can't wait to have you back, Chappelle, for another movie. Obviously, you're coming back on for our season 7 of Boy Meets World, which is, you know, coming up real soon. But thank you so much. And do let us know, like, everything you're working on right now.
Well, yeah, for sure. I can definitely let you in on my few projects that I have here and there. But listen, y'all got to have me back when you do Matilda. I've watched it again, and now I'm like, I have thoughts, you know? And so whenever LaTanya's up to it, bring me back. Let's do that again, because this was fun, but I'm sure we can make Matilda fun as well. But yeah, so right now, few things in the chamber. Of course, post-show recaps. I'm still talking about The Walking Dead. Currently, it's Tales of the Walking Dead, the anthology series spinoff of The Walking Dead. The final season of The Walking Dead will end this year as well. And so I'll be covering that soon with Josh Wigler, AJ Mass, and Jessica least, also on post-show recaps, Atlanta is about to start back up. And so myself, Latanya Starks, and Mari Forth will be covering Atlanta. I'm working on something else on post-show recaps, but I haven't figured it out yet. But that's a little bit further down the line. On Rob Has a Podcast, I will be on the Big Brother 24 Wednesday night recap this week to talk about the happenings this week in the final five of Big Brother 24. So check that out. Also on Rob Has a Podcast, I'm still hosting Nothing But Netflix with Rob Sesternino, and we're talking about Netflix shows every week. We have to get y'all on. I don't think we've done a Netflix one. I think we did. The last one we did was what? The Rewind, right?
Oh, yeah. Blend it. Love it.
Yes. So it's been a while, right? Yep. Yeah. So we got to come back. We got to get the 90s crew back on there. But yeah, Nothing But Netflix every week. This week, we will be talking about Dated and Related with Kirsten McInnes. And so this is about sexy singles and their siblings dating on the beach. So very Cruel Intentions, right?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like Dated and Related as in like, I'm dating my cousin.
No, more like, I'm fucking my brother. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so that's on Nothing But Netflix. Check that out every week. Subscribe, all that good stuff. And I think that's it for the most part. Of course, I was on the wrestling wrap up this week as well to talk about the things going on in the WWE. I did a dramatic reenactment of a press conference, so you got to check that out because it was a mess. I'll be canceled, but it was all for the art.
You're doing good work out there.
Yeah, and last week I got to be on the Game of Thrones versus House of the Dragons podcast on post-show recaps as well to talk about the new House of the Dragons series. And so check all that out and follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show, where I will tweet out the links as they come up. And finally, follow me on Silent Podcast, where Sasha Joseph and I are still talking about Never Have I Ever. Sarah, you have joined us before in the past. We are working
so good.
Season 3. Yeah, so we're about halfway through season 3 now. We're trying to wrap this up very quickly because, it's so much fun to talk about it, but we don't want to miss our window where people are still actually watching Never Have Ever. We're trying to churn them all out. So
hard with that binge shows format for sure.
Exactly. Even though Netflix says they're trying to get rid of it, but you know, whatever. The format, not the show. So check us out there on Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast. But thank y'all again for having me.
Thank you. So, over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we are at like a super interesting time because we are finishing up our coverage for season 4 of Dawson's Creek, starting on season 5 really, really soon. We are just beginning our season 7, the final season coverage of Boy Meets World. So we're really in like a transition period over here of like new season, so it's a good time for you to hop on or catch up on old content. Lots of fun. In terms of bonus podcasts, last month we covered Xenon Girl, the 21st century. More things to come later in the month. Check it out. Next month, of course, is Halloween, so we'll have some spooky content. Maybe we'll see a little bit more Sarah Michelle Gellar. Hint, hint, a wink, a wink. And yeah, you can catch us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, www.shit90spod.com. And you can find me at Sarah Ferguson and Jessica.
Yes. You can, of course, always find me here as well as over at Post Show Recaps covering Community on Community Building. I'm also covering Bad Sisters, the new Apple TV Plus show. It is kind of like a dark comedy is how I would say, a little bit of mystery thrown in. A bunch of Irish sisters are plotting how to kill their brother-in-law because he is truly Joffrey levels of horrible. And I don't say this lightly. He is a menace to society. He's a monster. So that has been really fun over at Post Show Recaps. And then very, very soon, I'm going to be coming out with coverage of a different show at Post Show Recaps. There is a new Hulu show coming out that is a comedy called Reboot. From the co-creator of Modern Family, where essentially there is they're trying to reboot an old family sitcom, and they're keeping all of like the same actors. So it has like a pretty star-studded cast. We have Keegan-Michael Key on it, Johnny Knoxville, Judy Greer, some pretty recognizable faces on this show. So I'm really excited to cover that on Push Your Recaps when it comes out pretty shortly. I think it comes out on the 20th of September. So keep an eye out for that as well. But that's all I got. You could find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. If you'd like to follow me there, it's where I put all my crap. Lots of crap going on.
It's going to be all there.
Oh, one more thing. I was also on America's Got Talent AGT Time podcast with Cody Patterson this week. Had a really good time talking about America's Got Talent and rating the different acts and judging people that are so much more talented than I. So check that out.
Amazing. And I think that's everything we've got. We got a lot going on, so feel free to catch all of it. Again, thank you so much, Chappelle, for coming on. This was great. I love the little swerve that we did to cover this movie, because let me tell you, it was a ride. It was a ride.
Yeah. I didn't even have time to rewatch it. I was like, screw it. I got this one. No worries.
You know what's going on.
I've seen it enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this was so much fun. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye. Just ask.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.